The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Rock, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. All right, let's take a look at some Israel news. Prime Minister Netanyahu landed in Moscow for a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the Kremlin early this afternoon. This is like deja vu. Did we know about this meeting? I have no idea anymore.
We did know about this meeting, and in fact there was quite a lot of speculation and comment about the meeting, because of course it is right bang in the middle of the whole build up to the elections. And at the time that the meeting was planned, there was a lot of talk about the number of trips that the Prime Minister would be making abroad during the lead up to the elections, and the fact that really his party, the Likud, needs him to be at home in order to, you know, arrange themselves to fight the upcoming election. And so as a compromise, Prime Minister Netanyahu agreed that he would shorten the length of the trips that he was making. So he was already away last week or the week before, now again in Moscow to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin today. And it's, I think, the 11th meeting that Putin and Netanyahu have held since 2015. And it turns out that Putin is the one leader in the world who Netanyahu has met most with out of all the other leaders that he's met with. And so it's a very interesting and fascinating relationship. And I know we've spoken about it on numerous previous occasions, about this relationship between Israel and Russia, and the fact that on the one hand, there seems to be some sort of a friendship, some sort of a communication that does go on between the two countries. On the other hand, Russia seems to act very unilaterally against Israel's best interests, whether it be supporting Iran, whether it be indirectly supporting terror groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah, whether it be the actions in Syria, providing missile systems and anti-missile systems to the Syrian regime, which are clearly designed to defend against attacks by Israel. And of course, these attacks that are being carried out by Israel are attacks that are not attacks that are designed to attack the sovereignty of Syria or the Syrian government, but rather attacks that are designed to protect Israel because of the massive arms and ammunitions movements that are going on in Syria. And yet Russia found it appropriate to provide Syria with this anti-missile system in order to effectively defend the movement of those arms and those missiles and that ammunition that would be used against Israel. So there is very much a two kind of faced approach that's going on between Russia and Israel at the moment. And it's quite a fascinating one. But today's meeting, we understand, is supposed to really kind of close the story of that Russian plane that was shot down by a Syrian system, and which was ultimately blamed on Israel and caused quite a rift in the relations between Netanyahu and Putin, because we will recall that soon after that plane was shot down, Netanyahu had attempted to seek a meeting with Putin. He was rejected on a number of occasions, and then he was fobbed off when there was an opportunity to meet around the edges of a conference that was held in Europe. And in the end, Netanyahu seems to have kind of grabbed Putin almost unexpectedly, and there was a picture of them sitting around a table at in a banquet hall. It seems like it was just before or after the meal had taken place, and it almost seemed like an ambush by Netanyahu to make sure that he had an opportunity to meet with Putin. But today, Netanyahu has been formally invited to the Kremlin to meet with Vladimir Putin. So it's clearly a different atmosphere. And as I say, the speculation or the commentary is that this is really to try to put closure to that whole incident of the shooting down of that Russian plane. And of course, there will be things to talk about in addition to that. Clearly, there will be a lot of discussion about Iran. There will be a discussion about what's going on in Syria at the moment. We understand that the Russians are quite eager to talk about the Palestinian situation. We know that the Palestinian delegation has been in Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin over the past few weeks. And it seems as if, though, Putin is quite taking quite active steps to engage himself in the Palestinian question from a number of different perspectives. It seems as if, though, he also wants to try somehow to broker some agreement within the Palestinian factions themselves, something that other parties and the Palestinians have really failed to do, even though there have been a number of formal agreements that have been entered into and signed and sealed, and everybody thought this was done and dusted, but they've never really been put into place, and now the Russians seem to be involving themselves to try and bring that about, but also to get more involved in the whole Palestinian-Israeli peace track in general, which we discussed yesterday. Of course, the Americans are very involved with. So I think a lot of interesting things going on in Russia, in Moscow today. Apparently, it's not too warm in Moscow, quite a cold day. And we understand that even though Prime Minister Netanyahu had planned to meet with members of the Jewish community in Moscow after his meeting with Putin, that's now been cancelled, and he will be returning home immediately, earlier than expected, because apparently he has business to take care of in Israel. We will probably be talking about that in the coming days.
Fascinating. I always get the sense they just want to get together and have a drink. Howard Saxton, you've got a question.
Well, according to Israeli media, that business that he has to take care of in Israel is, in fact, he may potentially be indicted this week.
Absolutely. That is certainly the speculation. Having said that, this potential indictment has been discussed already for some time. And even though we understand that every day that goes by must be closer, a day closer to the decision that will be taken by the Attorney General as to whether he will or will not indict Netanyahu. And of course, you know, it depends which newspaper you read as to what the current position is that the Attorney General is taking in terms of that indictment. But certainly that is the speculation about why Netanyahu has decided to return slightly earlier than was originally planned.
If he is indicted, how do you think that will affect the elections?
Well, I'm not sure that it will really affect the elections in any significant way, Howard. And the reason that I say that is it's a little bit like a share price. When people buy and sell a share price, when you know that there's already things going on in the company, and then it gets formally announced that there are whatever was being speculated about. And I think it's the same here. I mean, people who are supporting Netanyahu know about the potential indictment. They know that the Attorney General could quite easily turn up next week or tomorrow or whenever it is and say he's indicting Netanyahu on certain charges. And I don't think that would change anybody. I think that anybody who's decided that they don't want to support Netanyahu because of the potential indictment or because of the actions that he might have taken, which are inappropriate, I think they've already left. I think they've already decided that they don't want to be part of this episode any longer. And I think they've already taken their decision and done something else. The people who are supporting him now, I get the sense, are the people who will support him through thick and thin, whether he is indicted or not. I think the real question is whether, as a result of any indictment, he may be forced to step down. That's going to be a much bigger issue, but he's certainly given strong indication that he has no plans to step down just because he might be indicted. And of course, there is no possible way that this thing can come to any conclusion before the election. Even if he is indicted, it's going to take probably months and maybe even years until this is really brought to trial and, you know, the wheels of justice are set in motion. So I don't know really that it's going to make any significant difference to the election campaign.
Well, the other thing that I keep getting a sense of is that for the first time he is very, very concerned. And I say that because of a number of factors. One, of course, is the inclusion of the party that is an offshoot or the next generation of the Makahana party, but also the recent advertising campaign or advertisement that apparently was aired over the last few days where it was a Likud campaign that was filmed at a military cemetery, the message being that if you don't vote for Likud, there's going to be a lot more of these graves. Now, I saw that Netanyahu distanced himself from that.
But given
the whole environment, would they really have aired that campaign without his knowledge?
Well, you know, I think let's talk about both of the points that you raised. First of all, the inclusion of Otzma Yehudit and exactly what all of that means. And I think it's important to point out that the Otzma Yehudit party, which is the, you know, the offshoot of the Kahana Kach, whatever was back in the day, this is not a party that's currently forming part of a Likud coalition formally as such. What Netanyahu seems to have been very, very active in doing is trying to encourage the Otzma Yehudit party to get together with the Bayit HaYehudi, the Jewish home, formerly Naftali Bennett party, to try and get together with them in order for them to somehow be able to get beyond the 3.25% vote that would allow them to get seats in the Knesset. So Netanyahu apparently has been very, very active behind the scenes to encourage those two to come together so that they could form potentially a party that will be represented in the Knesset and that could potentially then, of course, be part of a coalition. Now, to what extent the Otzma Yehudit kind of way of thinking is really prevalent in this coming together of the two parties is not clear for any of us, and there are huge implications in the U.S. Jewish community who are horrified at the notion that Otzma Yehudit, the offspring of the Kahana party, could have a seat in Knesset at all, even if it's part of another group of parties that have come together. So that's one thing that we're still going to talk a little bit more about. In terms of Netanyahu feeling nervous, I think he has come and gone in terms of feeling nervous. It was clear that he was under a lot of pressure during the time that he was under the investigation, when he was taken for questioning, when the investigators were turning up the Prime Minister's residence to question him under caution. I think that there were clear signs of nervous tension from Netanyahu, and of course the PR campaign went into swing into the, you know, they did a lot of work to present things to the public to show, even though he was being questioned, that this was all without foundation, and you know there were a lot of comments about that. So he was clearly feeling nervous at that point. And you know, just to refer to this advert that the Likud has put out showing military graves. I mean, Netanyahu is absolutely on record saying that he condemns this. I don't know how it could have got past him in terms of approval, but it seems pretty clear to me that this was aired on TV without his approval and without his knowledge, and he has come out criticizing it unequivocally, saying that he feels for the bereaved families who are opposing this campaign because he is one of them. He is also a bereaved family having lost a brother during that Entebbe raid, and so he feels as they do. And he has very much criticized this campaign, so I guess that that's going to be binned and thrown away. But very, very controversial indeed.
All right. And we don't have a lot of time, unfortunately, because we've gone off on a bit of a tangent. But I do want to quickly ask you about U.S. supermarket giant Walmart having acquired an Israeli artificial intelligence company.
So this is not what you would expect, right? I mean, you think that Walmart, you know, supermarkets and all the rest of it, why would they acquire an Israeli technical company, technology company, which has specialized in artificial intelligence? The company is called Aspectiva, and they announced that Aspectiva will be joining Walmart Store Number 9, which is an incubation arm launched by Walmart in 2007 in order to try to promote technologies that will enhance the future retail and consumer experience. So even though Walmart is regarded as a fairly kind of, you know, low-scale supermarket in terms of quality and in terms of the type of people who frequent the store, they're obviously very, very broadly spread in the USA. But they are clearly concerned about what their consumers are thinking and what their opinions are. And they are going to be using Aspectiva in, and the artificial intelligence capability that this company brings in order to get more information about what the Walmart customer base is thinking. And it seems as if, though, Walmart is being driven to some degree by a rivalry with Amazon, who are also going into the space and, of course, have got a very, very strong technical and technological capability. And it seems that Walmart are pretty serious about getting more information about consumer behavior, about consumer opinions, about consumer thoughts, and technology like that of Aspectiva will be helping them to do that. Interesting.
Amazing. Absolutely fantastic. That's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch up with you. Same time, same place tomorrow.